Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. And the sort of infamous press conference where, you know, I'd signed for Blackburn a week before but told to shut my mouth, otherwise I'd be in trouble. I'm Chris Sutton and this is my Norwich City story. I remember painting a picture of myself at Horsford First School, which was, I was brought up in the village of Horsford, which is just outside Norwich near the airport. Lovely little village, went to the village school, and yeah, I painted a picture of myself and wrote on the picture, I want to be a professional footballer one day, and I used to play in the playground at school with my friends, and that's my first memory of football. Well, I played for the local Horsford village team, and when I first started off, I think I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I used to run the under-12s, and we used to get walloped sort of 15-0, 20-0 most weeks, but it was a good learning curve, as they say. I was playing as a centre-forward, as I mostly did throughout my youth career. Certainly in the early days, I mean, as I got older and we went up through the age groups and I actually got to the age of 12, we had quite a successful village side. And I think there was a guy called Paul Warne who, you know, Norwich fans would be familiar with, who came, and he was from North Walsham. So as we progressed as a team and got better, we started to attract some of the big hitters around the county into the Horsford team, and no, it was a good upbringing really, and a good environment to play football. I used to play at the local recreation ground with my friends most days, and that was how we learned to play. I mean, I wouldn't describe it as street football, it was more sort of field football back then in the country. I did pretty well for Horsford, the Horsford team, and at the middle school I had a teacher called Mr. Turner who pushed me into the Norwich Schools FA, as it was at the time, and I wasn't the best player in the area, far from it, but I was invited to a Norwich City trial at the age of 12, and it was a centre of excellence back then. I think there was a guy called John Waters who ran it, and I used to go down on a Monday night. From Horsford, I used to cycle to my grandmother's house at Helston, and she used to walk me round to a guy called Neil Carey, actually, to his father's house, and he used to drive us on a Monday night to Trouse, and I had a trial period for sort of six weeks, maybe 10 weeks, and at the end of that trial period, Norwich City said that they didn't want to keep me on. So, you know, so essentially I was rejected. And I can remember at the time feeling really quite hurt and dejected and thought it was the end of the world. Naturally, I suppose, as I would, and that was my chance gone. And so I wouldn't say I was a bit sort of anti football at the time, but that's when I started to probably concentrate more on my cricket than my football. So throughout my teenage years, I would say that, or you know, the say teenage years, 13, 14, 15, I would say that I was more into my cricket than football. And then just through a local county cup competition from my high school, Helston High School, it was in my GCSE year. And I wouldn't say I was a great academic and what have you. I actually I was the only person in my family to fail an exam, and I had two elder sisters and an elder brother. And my parents told me I wasn't allowed to stand in sixth form, so I went for a job at Norfolk County Council as a clerk, and I got it. And there you go, that was a highlight. But subsequently in that period, during that period, I think we, in the County Cup competition, we played Caister High School in the semi-final, and the game was at the Hewitt School in Norwich, and I scored a hat-trick. And then we played in the final against Yarmouth High, which was on the Little Wembley, for those people who would remember, inside the track at the Hewitt. Lovely pitch it was, and I scored a hat-trick in the final. And there was a scout there called Graham Wren, who, you know, I knew from the early days, who was a Hewitt School teacher, and he then recommended me for another trial. It was the end of the season at Norwich City, so I had about a 2 or 3 week window of opportunity, and played a couple of games. I think we played against Northampton, and then we played this touring team at Trouse who were utterly useless, and I scored 10 goals in this game, and that was probably the break which I needed. I mean, and Norwich City then gave me a 2-year YTS contract. So, you know, essentially I'd come from rejection at 12, not being through the schoolboy system, and all of a sudden, you know, I thought I was going to, you know, be a big hitter at Norfolk County Council, and the next thing, I'm signing for Norwich City on a YTS, and I know which one I preferred. Wow. Yeah, that's out of order. My mum, I think, used to cut my hair. Certainly looks like she cut my hair. You can see there, yeah, I'm quite a shy lad back then, and I had a few issues with spots, obviously, so thank you for this. Yeah, that's lovely. Helston High School, they still have the same blazer, I think, if I'm right. Wow. Do no, I don't. Good looking. I mean, there was potential there, though. Potential there. Would I class myself as a Norwich City fan? I used to support Nottingham Forest. But that was because I was born in Nottingham. You know, my dad was a former Norwich City player. He played for Norwich City, Chester and Carlisle. 28, he damaged his knee and went to Loughborough University and studied a teacher training, and hence why I was born in Nottingham. And in fairness, Nottingham Forest was a form team. So at the back then, the European Cup success, Brian Clough, and then, you know, later on in my career, one of my heroes was John Robertson, fantastic left winger. Didn't look like a footballer, was quite a sort of short, and I wouldn't describe him as dumpy, but that was I probably would, but what a superb talent he was. And so I used to follow Nottingham Forest more than Norwich City. When I first went in as a youth team player, I remember the first week, and I was pretty petrified, and I felt like a complete outsider in terms of the other boys who had come up through the schoolboy system. I think there was a guy called Nick Brown who was a goalkeeper, Phil Church, Tim Woodings, I think he was a bit of a late comer, Armando DiMello or something like that. These boys had all come up through the schoolboy system, and they'd known each other, and they'd all had a relationship. So I remember sitting in the dressing room sort of in the early weeks thinking, you know, I don't know whether I really felt comfortable in the environment and wanted to, not necessarily, I'm not saying I didn't want to be there, of course I did, but I felt, you know, out of the loop. But the one thing I did have was an edge, and I think I had the edge because during the years after my rejection, my dad, who was a, you know, huge influence on me, really pushed me physically, and we, you know, used to go to my grandparents were from Lowestoft. We used to go, where I used to think we'd go to the beach for a kick around with a football. We used to run up the slopes, this, that, and the other. I used to go in early and do circuits at Helston High School. My dad was a PE teacher. And physically, I wouldn't say I was, you know, the greatest athlete that ever lived, But what I did during those years, I created a base for myself, and albeit I felt I was a bit of an outsider when I first went into Norwich City, I felt that I had an edge in terms of a hunger, and I didn't want to let this opportunity pass me by. And I felt, you know, compared to these other players, that I was going to leave them standing because maybe they felt it was a natural progression. You know, and it actually ended up fortunate the way things materialised in terms of the rejection and getting another opportunity and not letting it pass me by.
Who was key for you in those 2 years in terms of you learned from coaching and teammates on the game?
You know, since I finished football and whatever, you look back and you contemplate and whatever, the youth team coach was a guy called Keith Webb, and I didn't particularly like Keith at the time, but I understood the environment which we were in, and I'm very grateful to what Keith you know, actually did for me, you know, looking back, in terms of, I thought that we were pushed exceptionally hard, you know, physically, you know, and mentally, and challenged, and little things in pre-season, you know, always make sure you're beating the first team players, you have to earn the right. And, you know, maybe, you know, nowadays people would look on that as being a little bit old-fashioned, but I quite liked, you know, that mentality at the time. I thought the environment was a pretty harsh environment and a brutal environment in many respects, because albeit you're in a youth team environment where you're playing with your teammates, but the truth is you're trying to, you know, cut each other's throats and try and move up through the ranks. And it, you know, I think Norwich City's moving a little bit back, you know, in this direction nowadays, is there was a progression. You could see as a young player that there was a progression path into the first team. You did well in the youth team, into the reserves, and, you know, I was, you know, in the reserves, you're one step away from the first team. And, you know, I was playing in the reserves within that first season, you know, with players who were playing, you know, first team football. So, you know, I understood the progression and you know, moved on pretty rapidly. I suppose somebody who was influential at that time, we had a coach called David Williams, who was somebody I thought, you know, who was a really excellent coach. And I always felt that Dave Stringer was the manager at the time. He was a little bit aloof, as he, you know, should have been. But I always felt that Dave Williams was one who backed me in that particular time. And bearing in mind, I'd never played as a centre-half before I'd gone to Norwich City. You know, I all of a sudden I was being moved sort of from centre-forward, centre-half and whatever. And that versatility actually became very beneficial to me in terms of getting a, you know, a start in the first team in Norwich City and getting a run of games. And that was always, you know, a string which I had to my bow. But that was down to, you know, I never played at centre half in any of the Horsford teams or the school team. That was, you know, the first time. So that was down to Dave Williams, and you know, fortunate that he had faith in me. I think there was a, you know, an opportunity in a youth team game to play centre half, and because I was pretty tall, maybe they you know, they thought I could do a job there. But I always, you know, I realized pretty quickly the progression which you could, or the giant strides which I could make. And and albeit when I first started in the youth team, I was in the reserves pretty quickly, and then you think, well, you're only a step away from the first team. So, you know, that was, I always felt that was a you know, a plus for me playing centre half. Well, the beauty of it back then is that, you know, and I was always aware of this, that if there were injuries in the first team, if you were doing well in the reserves, you were the next one in. You know, had I been at another club, Manchester United or an Arsenal at that particular time, I don't think I would have gotten the opportunity. And I think that's why Norwich City actually, in those days, had a lot of young lads coming through the ranks into the first team, and, you know, we're a self-sufficient club. So how did I feel? It was, I mean, a remarkable couple of years when I think that, you know, where I was, you know, getting a job at Norfolk County Council to making my debut against QPR. I think I was in my second year of my YTS then, and we were, what, were £29.50 the first year in a bus pass, £35 the second year, still the bus pass. And I'd played Division One football, which was, you know, as we know, the Premier League back then. So, you know, huge strides. Here we go, and this, a lovely picture. This was, I think, I'm not sure about my shell suit. It was obviously fashionable back in Horsford back in the day, but this was, I think, before I signed for Blackburn Rovers. And, you know, that's a lovely picture of my dad, who was, you know, really talented footballer. And we look very similar. We've both got enormous noses.
Just before you switch, can you just talk to us as much as you want to about your dad, in terms of how much of an influence he was playing,
Yeah, well, you know, I said before that in terms of, you know, becoming a professional footballer, I would say that, you know, it's all down to him, really. And when I say that, in keeping me going and dragging me out of bed in the mornings and making sure that I'd go in and circuits and cross country and running. I used to do a lot of track work when I was 15. And I said, you know, I wasn't a great athlete, but I think those years were so important to me and pushing me. And I'd say, I don't want to do it, this, that, and the other. And I'd go in, I'd kick balls against the walls in the gym in the morning. We used to go to the beach at Lowestoft and kick balls, and he'd practice clipping left and right foot. And in many respects, those years were so important in terms of training my brain and having that base and belief. And when I got the opportunity again, it was, you know, a lot of it. I mean, my fitness levels when I went back down to Norwich City were, you know, really phenomenal. And that was down to one man and him. And, you know, after games I'd used to speak to him. I can, at school he was my PE teacher, and he would never ever give me any praise in front of any of the other kids. It was, you know, an absolute no-no. But he was, you know, he was very, very fair, I think. And if I did well, it's I did well. More often than not, I didn't do well, and he'd tell me. And and I think that, you know, that the fact that he pushed me and pushed me to the limit at times, and some people might have deemed that, you know, nowadays that he was, you know, too tough, this, that, and the other. I think without that, then there's absolutely no way I would have, you know, become a footballer. So, you know, for that, I'm, you know, extremely grateful. And now, obviously, well, you know, he used to play, and he's sort of suffering in a minute, you know, not at the moment, but suffering through, you know, dementia, and he's in a home on the, you know, the outskirts of the city where he's, you know, looked after, has 24-hour care. And, you know, it's very sad, and it is what it is. But, you know, it's one of those things. I'll go and see him now and spend time with him. And, you know, I don't really think he knows who I am or, you know, my children are anymore. But, you know, if, you know, I'm talking to him, I talk about, you know, back in the day and the times and funny things where, you know, with football, if I remember getting injured once at Helston High School, and he's the referee, and rather than stop the game, he ran past me and told me to get up. He said, "Get up, you wimp." And like with cricket, if I played an expansive shot and he was umpire, he used to glare at me. So then, I'd make sure I played properly. But, you know, it was all for a reason, and all because he loved me and wanted me to do well. So for that, I'm, you know, eternally grateful, you know, to him. I think the reserve environment at that particular time, Mike Walker, who I liked very much. Mike was a very straight talker. I mean, he was a good motivator, Mike. And I thought that he could be quite ruthless at times. I mean, it was the days where we'd sort of go away and we'd have fish and chips and a crate of beer on the coach on the way home, and sort of put the world to rights, which we all quite enjoyed. But you know, it's a good grounding, the reserves, because I know nowadays they have the under 23 league, this, that, and the other. But if you hadn't made it at sort of 18, 19, 20 back then, you know, then you hadn't made it, and that was pretty much that. But I was playing against experienced professionals, you know, in the old combination as it was back then. And, you know, you learned a lot playing against the likes of, I mean, I remember playing against Spurs, Paul Walsh, you know, Vinnie Samways, John Gale, I think, who was at Wimbledon, you know, really big physical types. You learn to look after yourself. Well, going into training with the first team, I found daunting, as a young player naturally would. These were the days when people could tackle properly, and when I say properly, you know, filthy tackles. I remember John Polston topping me extremely early on and getting back up. But it's about earning the right and earning the player's respect. And I think that, you know, it took a while, but you know, I think that, you know, I was a pretty accomplished player. I think what I did learn through the youth team is, you know, and I talked about, I think, my shyness in the early, you know, the early weeks and feeling a little bit out of it. I think eventually, you know, I learned that you had to sort of join in and become one of the lads, really, and join in the banter, this, that and the other. And I have to say, by the time I became an early professional, I was quite good at the joining in and the banter, really. Well, yeah, this is, I like this. Tim Shepherd, wow. He's looking fit there. Ah, great memory. I'm in between two lookers there, aren't I? Brian Gunn and Mark Walton. But I don't know which year this would be. 90, this would be 91, 92, I'd be guessing. And the kit is, I mean, it's iconic, isn't it? I mean, it looks actually like vomit, doesn't it? But no, great memories, absolutely fantastic memories. Andy Johnson, young Andy Johnson. Oh, lovely stuff there. Gary Megson, yeah, he came in and changed our style. Gary Megson, where we used to be a footballing team, he tried to make us more robust. He used to vomit, Gary Megson, before games. Do people know that? No, he used to get really nervous and throw up. That's a bit of useless information.
The semi-final game, because I think Fletcher was injured and things like that. There was a lot of hope. That was actually one of those moments where Norwich, you know, the favourites going into something.
There was a lot of hope until Robert Fleck had, there was the old oxygen tank, which was brought in, and there was a lot of hope until he didn't make it, I think. So no, it was a major disappointment. I actually missed a good chance at Hillsborough. That's probably why you asked me about the semi-final, but fair enough. But they were, we beat Southampton in extra time. I think Alan Shearer played for Southampton. Tim Flowers certainly was the goalkeeper, because I reminded him about my brilliant header in the quarterfinal, which he claimed was a fluke, which clearly wasn't. Neil Ruddock, and that, I think that game, they ended up with about five men. They had so many players sent off. We go over the line, and then you think, you know, Norwich City, another big semi-final. But I think John Byrne, that was his season at Sunderland. But we were, that was a major disappointment. And I think in terms of a regret, you know, I never won the FA Cup as a player. Looking back, they lost to Liverpool in the final, but you know, what an opportunity to get to a final. And with the group of players we had, it was a major disappointment. I think we stayed up. It may have been a Wimbledon game. I remember watching from the stands. Robert, it may have been 1-1. I think that something like that needed a point to stay up. It was a really flat end to the season. And I remember sitting in the stand at Carrow Road, and the ground was half empty. And you're thinking, you know, this was a team really which, you know, was capable on its day, but which was, I don't know, running out of steam, needed a little bit of energy, maybe. And then Mike came in, and, you know, obviously progression from within. But what Mike did, I thought, you know, Mike wasn't daft. He got the senior players on side, and, you know, with a sprinkle of the sort of young players, we kicked on pretty quickly. And the catalyst for that would have been the first game of the season against Arsenal at Highbury, and it was a really strong Arsenal team. But I think we were two down at half time. I was playing centre forward, at a particularly disappointing first half, and then Mike made an inspired substitution 15 minutes into the second half. He brought me off and put Mark Robbins on. I never looked back, and Mark Robbins scored a brilliant chip that day. But the belief which that 45-minute performance gave the whole team was the springboard, really, for our success. We had so much belief, because, you know, this wasn't a Mickey Mouse Arsenal team. This was a, you know, much fancied Arsenal team, a strong Arsenal team. And then that whole season was just, I mean, use the word roller coaster, but I mean, it was. I mean, we were the team to watch, good or bad, and there was plenty of bad. I think it was, you know, I think we got beaten 7-1 at Blackburn. And I remember that game well. I think Ian Butterworth told me to keep my head up after the game when he was at fault for about 4 of the goals. So that was a good learning curve as a youngster. I think he came out to the press and said that. He said, I told Chris to keep my head up. I mean, talk about passing the buck and blaming other people. I didn't cover myself in glory, but blimey. So, you know, that was all about looking after yourself back then, wasn't it? You know, it's pecking orders in football. And, you know, that particular time, I think, you know, Mark had come in. And Mark had come in with the big reputation as a goal scorer. And he was a fantastic goal scorer. But, the you know, the thing which was always levelled at Mark is, sort of, it depends which way you look at it. If he wasn't scoring, then, you know, what was he doing? Because he wasn't particularly pacey. You know, he wasn't one really to hold the ball in. So this, that and the other. But, you know, you had to feed him. And, you know, if we fed him, he could score goals. But there was competition for places. But I think predominantly that season, which was why Norwich City ended up with a negative goal difference, I was a centre-half, you know, for most of that season. But, you know, it was I mean, we had some big wins, I think. You know, certainly away from home, and had that belief. And we could have actually won the Premier League, and people forget that. I don't think sitting in the dressing room that season we ever felt, and I can never remember anybody actually talking about it. And maybe we should have done, but that probably summed up a little bit that, you know, we didn't have the mentality of the big boys. You know, this was a United team at the time, but, you know, who were just starting off under Sir Alex with their Premier League domination. Bruce Pallister, Ince, Giggs, Cantona, Mark Hughes, and, you know, big players, huge, you know, players' reputations and characters. And we were little Norwich City punching above our weight, maybe lacking belief. And had we had the belief, maybe we, you know, could have got over the line. So this is Dave Phillips, good footballer Dave Phillips, Mark Robbins and myself. And I take it that I was just joining in on the celebration there. Yeah, still that ugly kit.
What did you think when you first saw that kit, Chris? When you first unveiled the kit to your players, what did you think?
Well, I mean, look, I'm going to be honest, I'm no sort of fashion expert, but even, you know, my eye isn't good for fashion, as people well know, but even myself thought, blimey, I mean, what is that? But is it, that's coming back, isn't it? I think, I've seen the kit being sold in a shop in Chapelfield, Norwich City shop in Chapelfield. So it is, people, I mean, the one thing you'd say is people remember it. I mean, you know, all for the wrong reasons, but people remember it. The Manchester United game at Carrow Road was the one which was a real sore point, because, you know, I think we were 3 down early, pretty early, or certainly in the first half, and that all ended a bit flat. So I think that season as a whole, I mean, albeit I was young, you know, when you're so close to achieving something, then, you know, I think that, you know, as a whole, you finish the season, you think, brilliant, we've finished third. But that was a season, you know, which was a, you know, what might have been when you look at Leicester City achieved, you know, later on, you know, which was phenomenal. And I suppose that was a story, well, other than we didn't win it, where, you know, we had the opportunity. And, you know, will that ever happen again in Norwich City's history? Probably not.
Were you happy that you were playing European football? Do you remember? I know Rule really noticed.
Well, he wasn't fussed about a lot of things, Rule. He was sort of quite easygoing, wasn't he? No, it was. I thought it was a big deal. And, I mean, I think the mentality was we played. I mean, we'd had pre-seasons in Sweden, this, that and the other, which were always, you know, quite good fun. But then, you know, European competition, Norwich City, you know, going in, Vitesse Arnhem was a bit of a tester, but we beat them 3-0, I think, pretty comfortably. But we were a good team. And I mean, we were a bit of an odd team, really, but on our day, we were superbly capable. And we, I mean, this was the season, well, the European football season was when Mike played a system which I don't think has ever been seen since. The sort of three centre-halves and a sweeper behind it. I mean, heaven knows how we ever got forward. But we did have a good balance because we had the pace of Efan Okoko, who was, you know, so quick. We had the guile of Ian Crook in the middle of the park who could pick a pass. You had Jeremy Gosse, who was the legs. And you know, you had the talent of, you know, the likes of Ruul Fox, who, you know, was a really... I thought was an underrated player, you know, and you know, subsequently, you know, had a phenomenal career, but a really clever footballer, could cross a ball, could come in and link up, and you know, we were a very capable side. I didn't think we feared anybody. I think in the European season, we'd, you know, gone to Manchester, Old Trafford, Manchester United, and drawn 2-2 and put in really strong performances. And, you know, I mean, this was the season, I think we beat Everton 5-1 away, you know, Crystal Palace 4-3, Leeds 4-0, Jeremy Gosse's goal of the season, we beat Blackburn second game of the season away. I mean, we fancied ourselves, you know, we were that strong. But then we always had that, you know, that side to us where we could shoot ourselves in the foot and get walloped. But if we were at it, then we were as good as anybody. We just weren't consistent enough.
How about the first trip away, Vitesse? Going on a European tour, all the fans went on a European tour, Norwich on tour. Yeah. What was that like as an experience?
Well, Norwich Airport was full, I think, for the first time in its history. Great memories. The first game was at home, though, wasn't it? 3-0. And the second game, Mike actually sort of I remember playing in a little bit of a deeper role in there, and Efan Okoko missing about 3 one-on-ones. We should have really put the game to bed out there. But he was phenomenal. Efan was, as a player, and really good for me in my development, because you know, you could just hook things into an area, flick things on, and he was that quick that, you know, he could make up yards. And I really enjoyed, you know, playing with Efan and the whole team at that particular time. You know, in terms of my development as a player, you know, the likes of Ruul Fox and Ian Crook. I mean, we had a little free kick routine, myself and Ian Crook, where he'd take a step back, we'd make eye contact, and I'd then peel away and make a run, and I scored, I think, two or three goals from free kicks that season from that same routine. And, you know, that actually, you know, was, in terms of my development and making me as a player, you know, was a lot down to the players who I was playing with at that particular time. This next one, I don't know what Dave Phillips has quite got on there, and I don't know why he's got his hand on Lee Power's knee. But now I thought, I mean, what shirt does Dave fit? I mean, you talk about kits. What on earth is that? No, international kits there. That was my 12 minutes for England. I don't know if that's the shirt. And Lee Power. He's the chairman of Swindon Town now, isn't he? Lee Power. So, lovely memories that. Brian Gunn with a head of hair. And a young Mark Bowen with a head of hair, which he doesn't have now.
You guys still see each other, get together, have any reunions?
I've seen Brian a little bit. I haven't seen Lee for years. Apparently you can't miss him. No. I don't know whether you understand that, but there you go.
Come on, Will.
Mark Bowen is big boy now, Lee, is what I'm getting at. And Mark Bowen has had an extremely successful coaching career. So I've bumped into him the odd time. I think what was underrated or underestimated is actually our home performance against Bayern, because, you know, to go over there and win, and I know everybody's talked about it being the first British team to go over there in the Olympic Stadium to do that. I'd actually had a skirmish with the kit man, Jock Robertson, where I tried to put him in a skip, I think just before kickoff, and he came out swinging this, that and the other, and that. So that was a sort of an interesting memory before the game, but that was a bit of a side issue. But the game was, you know, phenomenal, really. And it just sort of summed us up at that particular time in terms of, you know, what we had in terms of belief and going over there, the players that they had, and doing a job on them. Did we think we'd do it? Of course we did. I mean, absolutely not. You know, you don't fancy yourself, but you know, when you actually strip everything back and look back to those days and the English teams, you know, we'd beaten and gone toe-to-toe with, you think, well, why not? But I thought that the home game was big in terms of showing real character and belief to go down early as we did and coming back. And over the two legs, you know, we deserved to win the game, and albeit they were terrible, terrible losers, the Germans, weren't they? But, you know, they got what was coming to them. You know, the bottom line is you know, little Norwich City are knocking out huge European giants, and they didn't like it, and I can understand that, but you know, doesn't detract from the fact that we were the better team.
Is that, would you say, the best night at Carrow Road you ever experienced?
Yeah, I think so. I think that you know, that would have to be. I mean, looking back now, if you know, you ask anybody the greatest moment in Norwich's history, I would say that, you know, the first leg in Munich would be the night everybody remembers. But I think in terms of, as a player, big occasion, seeing it through, which, you know, we'd, you know, had other opportunities at Norwich in cup competitions to do so. But it doesn't get any bigger or better than that. And that still is the greatest moment, I think, in Norwich City's history. It was a disappointment, I thought. And when I say a disappointment from the players' point of view. Great draw, you know, another big European giant coming to Carrow Road. And I mean, they were, I think their centre half, had a centre half called Bergamy, who was one dirty, horrible so and so, but was extremely clever, you know, would pull, scratch, you know, really dirty type of player, and you know, would block. And it was good for a young player to experience that. And probably the first, you know, time I'd come across against such, you know, uncompromising, rugged defending, sort of, you know, getting the job done. We had chances at home, we didn't take them, but still, you know, going away to the San Siro, and I think we had a few out that day, but we, you know, had opportunities. I missed a chance in the first half, which, you know, maybe I should have scored. And, you know, I felt that was a game which passed us by, because we had the chances, we didn't take them. They scored late on, didn't they? To win the game, I think Efata Kuku had another chance, and after beating Bayern, you know, it would have been nice to go one step further. But I suppose, you know, we look back, great support over there, you know, it wasn't to be. But that pretty much summed us up, you know, as a team, capable on a day, but you know, if we weren't quite at it, then very beatable. Well, I thought what was going through her mind is, this is great, but you want more of it, don't you? And I think at that particular time, we were still thinking that, you know, this is a, you know, a real possibility, you know, for you know, us to have European football for years to come. But that all, that, you know, this was the season after we'd finished third, and it all unraveled, shall we say, extremely quickly, which was, I think, a major disappointment to all Norwich City fans. But, you know, can assure the Norwich City fans, it was a major disappointment to the Norwich City players as well at that particular time. Well, I think if I'm right, this was, I'd signed a new deal just before Christmas, and the new deal, and it was, you know, it was good money back then, and I'd signed a goal bonus of £500 a goal if we won or drew, and you know, the conversation was, is, you know, Chris, we're not a selling club anymore, we're going to keep everybody, all the best players together, we're going to keep this group together, and you know, we're going to have a go. And then Mike, about two weeks later, Mike cleared off to Everton, I think, or something like that, and Ralph Fox got sold to Newcastle, and you're thinking, what on earth has happened? And I had a fantastic relationship, you know, with Mike, really respected him. And looking back, we, you know, I don't think anybody could blame him. Things didn't work out at Everton, you know, for making that particular decision. But there's no doubt it was, I think, a major disappointment and you know, a major factor in that Norwich City team disbanding, you know, as it was, and with Rule going, who was, you know, good, as I say, a good friend on and off the pitch. It was disappointing, and I know, you know, I think they replaced Rule with Neil Adams, who was a good Norwich City player, but I personally never felt it was going to, you know, to be the same. And I think Norwich City had lost a major creator in Rule Fox and an attacking force. So, you know, from then on, you know, being a Norwich boy, being brought up in the area, I know you'll hold it against me that I used to support Nottingham Forest, but, you know, I did like, you know, I did have an affection for Norwich City. I was being spoken to from other clubs. Can you say tapped up? I don't know whether you can, but, you know, but I knew then that there was an opportunity for me to move on, and reluctantly, and I mean reluctantly, you know, it was a decision which was the sensible decision, because, you know, I was ambitious. I think he went just before we had an FA Cup tie at Wickham, and it was all I think John Dean took over, and I liked John very much as a coach, but I felt that we had lost the authority, or, you know, it's difficult where, you know, you make the transition from a coach into manager. Mike did it. I thought Mike did it superbly. Mike had a bit of clout about him when he moved from the reserves, and, you know, he could have a temper, and Mike, you know, he could row this, that, and the other. John was, you know, a coach who was a friend, you know, a friend to a lot of the players in many respects, and had a relationship. And I didn't feel that John had the real confidence that Mike had in itself. That's not to say he wasn't a fantastic coach and a good football brain, you know, because he was. But we'd lost, you know, a manager who, you know, had come in, you know, our figurehead, where we'd finished third in the Premier League, where we'd gone into Europe and, you know, beaten a major side in Europe, where we could go toe to toe, you know, with any other team. And you know, he had gone. It was, you know, his decision to go, and I just, you know, it was a tough period, really, and albeit I think we beat Wickham 2-0. That was Martin O'Neill was the manager, and I scored a couple of goals in that game, and Martin has held it against me ever since. But no, it was all, I knew from an early stage that, you know, things, the likelihood was, unless there was, you know, a dramatic change and you know, there was ambition shown by Norwich City, then that I was going to leave. It was all really odd because, you know, I mean, discussions go on between, you know, players, agents, clubs, as we all know, and pretend that they don't. But, I mean, you know, Robert Chase, who, you know, now everything has ended and this, that, and the other, and he's not at the club anymore. I thought Robert Chase actually did some good for Norwich City back then. I can totally understand the frustration of, you know, of the support and the, you know, the fans and the players were frustrated because, you know, after Europe, it was loosen the purse strings. And that, you know, for whatever reason, that didn't materialise. I think in terms of, you know, the way I was transferred, I mean, and the sort of infamous press conference where, you know, I'd signed for Blackburn a week before but told to shut my mouth, really, otherwise, you know, otherwise I'd be in trouble. I mean, I couldn't have been in trouble because I'd signed for them anyway a week earlier. But that was all, you know, extremely odd and sort of, you know, a little bit conniving, I think, if, you know, we can say that, from Robert Chase, because he'd done the deal for me to be sold for 5 million and then changed the terms. I think he'd said that if I wasn't there the next season, then he wouldn't be there, which a lot of the fans might have been happy about. I don't know, but he certainly changed, you know, the terms and called the press conference where he said that, you know, if I was to go for a British record fee for £5 million, then, you know, that would change things, and, you know, the fee had already been agreed and I'd signed for Blackburn a week earlier, which, you know, put me under a bit of pressure in the press conference at a slightly awkward position. But as with most things in my life, I just went along with it. This one, yeah. This is the This is the infamous press conference where I just know that Robert Chase is talking out of his backside, really, and talking utter nonsense and kidding everybody on. But, you know, I said, but having said all that, you know, I don't think he was the worst man in the world, Robert Chase. And I do think that he had Norwich City Football Club at his heart. But at this particular time, he was just bullshitting everybody, really, because I'd already been sold to Blackburn. So that was, he wormed his way out of a situation. And then probably, you know, I mean, you have to say unfairly put me in a position, but, you know, as a weak character, I just went with it.
Did you have much of a summer holiday that summer, or was it?
No, I actually got arrested, didn't I, the night before I flew up to Blackburn. Not really. It was Brian Gunn's fault. No, we'd met for a few drinks in the city, and I was a young man back then, and I decided to jump into a car which was parked, and I think I bent the indicator or the steering wheel. And the next thing, I think I had, what did I had, I there's a nightclub in Norwich, which the people may well know back then, called Highs, and I think the police came into Highs looking for me, and I ducked out the fire exit and taxi to, well, I used to live in Thorpe, and the next thing, I had three police cars surrounding the car, and, you know, I mean, you'd have thought I'd committed a serious crime, this, that and the other, spent the night in cells, and all I was thinking is, God, my dad's going to go nuts. He's going to slaughter me. And then, of course, I had the, you know, thinking, is the deal going to go through, this, that and the other? Because I didn't have a clue. But, no, I called Kenny Dalglish in the morning, and he just laughed, which was extremely fortunate for me. And I flew up to Blackburn on a private jet from Norwich Airport, but my there was only four of us on the plane, and my dad didn't say much to me on the journey. The night out I had was a sort of drinks thing, final drink in Norwich, and, you know, a few of the players came. I think some of them were on holiday, this, that and the other. You know, Brian Gunn was the instigator and misled everybody, and that was the long and the short of it, really. But no, I was I have to say, I was you know, very respectful of the club and very thankful to the club for, you know, all the way what they'd done for me. And, you know, I mentioned Keith Webb earlier, who I didn't like him as a coach. I thought that you know, I didn't like his approach at times. I thought he was very hard line, but, you know, looking back, I totally understand that. And I don't think at all times I covered myself in glory in terms of, you know, getting too big for my boots at times, and you know, and so, you know, I can understand it in some of the ways, you know, why Keith was, you know, the way he was. But, you know, I'm very grateful to him for what he did, you know, throughout that period, and the whole regime, you know, from Dave Stringer, Dave Williams, Mike Walker down. You know, I don't think you'd find too many players, whether they, you know, went on to professional contracts or not, who would find much fault in, you know, in the way that we were brought up, you know, in the youth team and through the reserves. It was a good environment to be in.
Did you enjoy coming back to Carrow Road as a player?
Yeah, well, I came back with Blackburn and scored after 4 minutes, but we ended up losing the game. 2-1, and I got a little bit of stick at this, that and the other, but no, I think that was the only time I came back as a player. In fact, I think Celtic came back in Tim Shepherd's testimonial, but I think that was the only time. So that, yeah, I was probably disappointed I didn't come back, you know, more often. No, this is where I'm going to settle here. I've always, albeit I wasn't born in Norfolk, I've always thought of myself as a, you know, a Norfolk lad, you know, this, that and the other. And I moved back, you know, I like the area. I live in, you know, up in North Norfolk, but I moved back to be, you know, in and around my dad, who's sort of suffering at the minute. So that was, you know, why I moved back, but not, you know, just, but it's a nice place. I've got children to bring my kids up. So, you know, I certainly count myself a, you know, a Norfolk and a Norwich boy. Whether other people do is, you know, entirely up to them. But I've always followed the club, you know, from afar. But I think as a city, you know, it's a fantastic city and a lovely place to bring your kids up. Oh wow, yeah, this was this was as you well know a Santa run, because I don't normally dress like this. And the fact that that's my son James in front of me is the most disturbing thing about this whole thing. So this was in, I can't remember where this was. This was at, maybe at Sandringham or somewhere like that. And I should have actually won this race, but the guy who went off, because the guy who went off at the start went the wrong way. And I still finished fourth. And my son beat me, which was, you know, pretty remarkable. But no, from my, as a pretty sad day from my playing days, I wasn't and am not what I was.
Some of your boys have gone into football as well, haven't they?
Some of them, yeah. No, they like the football. Ollie's just signed for Wroxham. You know, he's a good lad. He lives in the city, and he's a talented boy. So, and he used to play for Wroxham as a youngster, and I played the odd game with him and a few of his mates, and you know, thoroughly enjoyed it. So, it's a good little club, and. You know, I look forward to go down there and watching him. And a lot of his friends who I've got to know play locally. One plays for Great Yarmouth. Another one of his friends has just signed as goalkeeper for Lowestoft. So it's, I really follow the local sport, you know, closely. I'm, you know, big fan of the local cricket as well. One of my elder son plays for Cromer at cricket. So. No, I'm one who I know you work for the EDP, but you know, buys the EDP on a Monday, especially religiously.
You have managed against Norwich.
For
Lincoln.
Oh, did it? What was the score? What was the score? I think I would say that we must have lost. I want to say we Lincoln at that particular, because I don't think I won a game. I can't remember the score in that though. So I'm probably, do you know the score? I mean, what is this?
I think you're right, you did lose, but I can't remember what the score was.
Are you being kind?
Paul Lambert?
Yeah, well, I used to play with Paul. Well, 3 or 4 years with him at Celtic. Really, really good footballer and phenomenal job he's done at Norwich, but now he's gone to the dark side, hasn't he? You know, when I was younger, I think at Norwich City, I used to buy all the papers, you know, when I'd been linked with this, that and the other clubs, and I liked all the adulation. You know, as you do, you get sucked in, I think, as I did. And then when, you know, I mean, there was no pressure playing for Norwich at that time. I think, you know, we had a particularly brilliant period, and all you get is praise, praise, praise. But then as soon as I moved to Blackburn, you know, which was a British record transfer fee, before I'd kicked a ball, criticism, you know, is he worth the money? And things change. And then when I took a bit of criticism, I ended up being a big baby and I didn't like it. And so, you know, once you stop playing, you sort of realise, blimey, what was I worried about? And, you know, well, I should have looked at things more reasonably back then. And so, you know, it is what it is. Criticism is part of the game. And, you know, I think some of it's constructive, some of it's not, but it's, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't change the world. It's, you know, it's the, we all love a football and everybody has an opinion. It's just, I'm right more than most. I didn't mean that. Your Norwich City hero. Oh, blimey, that's a tough one. My Norwich City hero. Oof. My Norwich City hero would have been my dad, who played for Norwich City back in the day. His nickname actually at Norwich City was Salty, because as an apprentice, he put salt in everybody's tea rather than sugar one day. So that was his nickname back in the day. So he would be my Norwich City hero. Tell us something we'd... Tell us something we don't know about your Norwich spell. That's a very difficult one. And what wouldn't you know about my Norwich spell? So we used to play spoof a lot, and which is you have three coins, and anyway, if there's three of us, the maximum is nine, minimum is is naught, and we were driving, we were driving through out near Beckle somewhere one time, and the game was, and so we decided we'd have a game with Spoof to see who would run into this field of figs, which is interesting, and pick a pig up and give it a cuddle, and I ended up losing, so we spent 20 minutes trying to round up a pig and give it a kiss, and that it didn't happen. That's terrible. When did it nearly end early for you at Norwich? Well, it did end early for me at Norwich when I was 12, and they rejected me. So it was, you know, that may have been a good decision at the time, but it probably was the right decision because, albeit I was tall, I wasn't much good. Your favourite Norwich City moment or memory? Oh, I'd have many good memories of Norwich City. In terms of moments, I think the season, the Bayern Munich season, of course. But I liked games like at Old Trafford where we went and we played a really good United team and went toe to toe. We ended up drawing the game 2-2. Could have won it. Should have won it. Leeds United 4-0, Jeremy Gosse's goal of the season. I don't think it gets any better than that. As a player, you know, going up against a top team and totally dismantling them, and you know that's what we did. I think Ralph Fox scored two. I scored early. I think David O'Leary, as one of his last games as a Leeds centre half, they took him off after 30 minutes. We absolutely demolished them. And as a player, it doesn't, you know, it really doesn't get any better than, you know, up against top team, top players, and having that superiority. Everton 5-1, Efanikuku 4 goals, you know, I mean, these weren't Mickey Mouse teams. These were teams, you know, full of established internationals. So I've probably given you a memory or two too many. But these are all, there are also, you know, bad memories. On the flip side, Blackburn 7-1, this, that and the other, the Sunderland semi-final, which was a disappointment. But it's a good mix there. Who do you miss and why? Who do you miss and why? I saw Rule's, I think I saw Rule's answer to this. I miss the dressing room. I miss the fact, you know, not going into training and having the dressing rooms at the banter. I mean, that was, you know, in many respects, the best part of the day, going in and you know, someone going to rip you and you have to be on your toes and rip someone back. So that was, you know, that's probably the biggest part. But if I miss anybody, I think I miss Rule and I miss Lee Powell. We had a good little trio on and off the pitch back then. So there'd be the two which I miss. And would I like to relive those days? Probably. Albeit we probably wouldn't get away with it these days. Who don't you miss? And that's... Has anybody ever answered this question? Who don't you miss and why? I don't miss Gary Megson. And why? Because when he came, I mean, and very opinionated Gary, with nothing wrong with that, had a huge mouth. And I just thought he was so over the top, Gary. So I don't miss him at all. I don't miss you, Gary. Your Norwich City regret? My Norwich City regret would be Sunderland semi-final. I don't know why you're nodding. Where I had an opportunity to score and I should have scored, I thought. I think I was 12, 15 yards out, ball bouncing, and I didn't get a good contact. And it's something, I mean, do I think about it every day now? No. Is it a regret because of, you know, the context, you know, the chance to get Norwich City into a major final? Absolutely. So, albeit I was a young player, and I know people will forgive me, but I regret that. Was the grass greener? What a ridiculous question. Was the grass greener? Well, it was greener because, you know, Blackburn won the title the next season and Norwich City got relegated. So it's as simple as that. So it was greener, unfortunately. But I had the opportunity to come back to Norwich later on in my career. I actually offered myself up to Nigel Worthington, who didn't want to take me, which I thought was, I think Norwich were in the Championship at the time, which I thought was pretty remarkable to not even speak to me. And that would have been something which I really would have liked very much. And I was still, I ended up going to Aston Villa and signing for a Premier League club. So that was something which I have to say, I didn't really understand what was Nigel's beef, because without blowing my own trumpet at that time, I certainly think that I would have improved Norwich City's team. It certainly wouldn't have been the worst signing. It wasn't about money. So that would be, talk about regrets, actually. That would be one which rankles. But, I gave him the opportunity. I'm not going to sit there with a begging bowl. It certainly wasn't about money in any way, shape or form. It was about wanting to come back to my sort of hometown club. Your message to the Norwich City fans, those Norwich City fans who can remember me and my era, I think I was lucky enough to play a part in a team in an era which was the greatest era in Norwich's history, and that the history books are there and they speak for themselves, and I feel privileged to have been brought up through the ranks, been developed, and I think it's good to see now that Norwich, through being forced to go that way or not, are starting to develop again from within, because that's the lifeblood. And I count myself as a Norwich boy, and I'm very proud to have played and represented the club. And hopefully we will see Norwich City this season in the Premier League doing great things, and I'll be there to watch. I nominate Lee Power, which would be very, 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 very interesting to do this next time.
Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.